and welcome to Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a diagnosis.
I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX. This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always ask the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider for any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment. And before undertaking any new healthcare regimen, never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast. We're with Danelle and Rodney, their siblings, whom have both received kidney donations at least once. Hello, and thank you for being on our show.
Thank you.
Glad you're here.
Okay. How long has it been since your transplants? Danelle, yours was a long time ago, right?
Mine was in early April. I will be coming up on 17 years.
17 years.
17.
And you only had the one?
I've only had the one.
Okay. And Rodney?
My first transplant was in 1994.
Okay.
Second one was in 2010. Is that right?
Now, do you remember Lita?
No, I don't. So 94 was the first.
No, 2014.
One. Okay. All right. So what caused the first one to fail?
Well, it's Danelle and my brother and I and dad. It's all the same. All ports.
Okay.
All ports.
That's the
it's an immune problem. Your body attacks your kidney.
Okay.
Kind of like some people have a problem with it, their body attacking their heart.
Sure.
Ours is our kidney.
Okay. So is there any new stem cell therapy or anything that can help you like alleviate that so that your kidneys are.
Well, it wouldn't work on us anyway. You might could get it to work on somebody whose kidney isn't already shot.
Okay. Okay.
But there's no bringing ours back.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know about, like, with stem cell. I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, I'm just...
Not they're doing research into that to see. I mean, you know, they're using it for a lot of things now.
Right.
Well, the stem cell research now, I think, is mainly trying to grow
new ones.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't bring a rock back.
No, right. But I'm just concerned that if, you know, like the first one that you got, failed because your body still attacked it, right?
The all sense. Well, I'm not so sure it was that so much as just transplanted kidneys don't last forever.
Okay.
I've only got like a 10-year
warranty
for average, correct?
Okay.
And mine lasted 10 years.
Okay,
yeah, almost a month.
Yeah.
And it just.
And yours has been 17 years.
Mine's been 17.
What, did you get like the deluxe model?
And I might have.
Well, I think hers was a better match than mine was. Mine was just a mediocre match. Okay. Hers and my brother's have pretty good matches.
Okay.
Yeah, they told me that mine was as good of a match as if one of my kids had given it to me.
Okay, okay.
So, yes, I think it was just a really...
So that's probably important, too.
Yeah.
And the last one that you got from me, that one also failed. So now you're back on dialysis.
Yeah, of course, that one didn't last very long at all. I think with all the antibodies that I had from the first one, it makes it more difficult to match the second one. And also, Barnes did not put me on prednisone the second time around, which I think had a lot to do with killing it.
Wow, they didn't.
No, they don't believe in prednisone.
They don't do it. Our brother that had his out in Idaho, which has just been about 5 years for him, he's never done the prednisone thing.
Hmm. Well, I know Gina just had her liver, and she was on prednisone for probably 60 days.
Really?
Well, I was on, when they put my first one in, I was on massive doses of prednisone, but eventually got me down to a maintenance dose. And I had that the whole time I had my first kidney.
I don't know if Gina's taking it still or not, but I know in the beginning she took
a
lot.
And they might have with Scott too, but I know they've gotten away from, you know, the long-term.
When I got the second kidney. Of course, they didn't put me on prednisone. And after a few months, it started dying off. While it was deteriorating, I was put on prednisone for a totally another reason.
Okay.
And it almost stopped the deterioration of the kidney.
Wow.
But at that point, I was about 90% shot already.
Okay.
I am convinced if they had put me on the prednisone initially, your kidney would have lasted me a lot longer.
Okay.
Because once I got on the prednisone, the deterioration almost stopped.
But it was too late.
It was too late.
Did
Plus,
you mention that to them? Like, you know.
Well, after it's too late.
No, but I mean.
But I didn't realize what was going on.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking for future people, you know, like maybe they should change their ways.
Well, tell them that.
They don't want. I know, but I mean, part of education in the medical community, I think, is feedback from the patients so that they know what works, what doesn't
but
work.
What ended up happening, then I had to have heart surgery.
Oh, right.
And, of course, they had to have the MRIs with contrast, which is a big no-no for kidney patients. But at that point, they had to do it, and that finished the kidney off.
Sure. Okay.
But you had gone back on dialysis, but you were still having benefits of your kidney.
Yeah, I was still putting out.
And we were convinced it was because he had gotten on that prednisone.
I was still putting out a good bit of urine.
It lasted what? Maybe about a year?
Well, maybe,
before
yeah.
Before you had to have your heart surgery.
Yeah, then. It finished it off.
Yeah. Even though he had lost a lot of the benefit from your kidney, it still, you know, he continued to have some.
Oh, I was still putting out about 800 milliliters a day, which I wasn't having to watch my fluid anywhere near like I do now.
Okay. How often do you go for dialysis now?
3 times a week.
Okay. What symptoms made you realize, I know it's a long time ago, you know, when you first realized that you had problems, but what symptoms were there that made you think, I got a problem with my kidney?
None. Our father had kidney failure.
Okay.
So in the process of, they were trying to figure out why I had high blood pressure. I found out my kidney was already 25% shot 10 years before they failed.
Okay.
Completely.
So you didn't have any of these symptoms?
No. Most people do not realize what's going on until it's too late.
Hmm. So it's kind of like high blood pressure, a hidden thing, right?
Your body compensates and people don't realize it's going. A lot of people, when they find out they have kidney failure when they're in the hospital because they get flu-like symptoms, they get to feeling just totally run down, and that's when they find out. I knew for 10 years ahead of time it was coming.
Because of your dad?
Because of my dad.
Right.
And when your dad was diagnosed, they found out that it was a genetic problem, correct?
No.
Actually, they did find out because he was just diagnosed with kidney failure.
Okay.
They thought it was all brought on by hardening of the arteries.
Okay.
Then Rodney, diagnosed him as, again, just kidney failure. When I started showing signs, the doctor, we all had the same nephrologist.
Right.
You know, he's like,
Yeah.
So actually, I went in and got the biopsy that diagnosed us with the Allports.
Okay. And what is Allports exactly?
It's an autoimmune, but it's just basically a slow deterioration of the glomeruli of the kidney, which is just basically the body.
The filter
of the kidney.
Parts? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a filtering system of the kidney. And there's, you know.
They haven't come up with a cure for that.
Right. Mm-mm. Just one of those things that happens.
And so. All of your, you have one brother besides Robbie, and he has it as well.
And he has, yes.
And he's already been transplanted.
He's had a transplant.
He had a living donor transplant.
I think so he was 11 years younger than me. So, plus progressed fairly rapidly for me. I went on dialysis when I was 42. They've made it closer to 50.
Okay.
Our father was 50.
Yeah.
Okay. So, just to let the listening audience know, possible symptoms are decreased urine output, fluid retention, swelling in your legs, ankles, or feet, drowsiness, shortness of breath, fatigue, confusion, nausea, and in severe cases, seizures or coma, and chest pressure. That's probably from the fluid.
Well, like I said,
you just felt fluish.
Most people do not realize that's going on until the last minute.
Okay.
They get flu-like symptoms. They feel like crap. Mm-hmm. And they go in the hospital and your kidneys have quit.
So then what relief do they have at that point?
Emergency dialysis.
Okay. So once you have the dialysis, does that take care of the symptoms?
Largely.
Yeah. And which is really kind of what happened with my dad. He just, started getting very ill. I don't remember what all the symptoms he had, but then at that point, they checked his kidney functioning was all, decreased. The numbers, lab numbers were elevated. We actually took him down to Houston, to a hospital down in Houston. And that's where they figured out what was going on. And basically, he was just in kidney failure. So they did emergency dialysis. They put a graft in his arm, but you can't use that for a while. It has to,
Emergency dialysis, they put a port in your central vein, in your chest, and they use that. That's meant to be temporary. Mm-hmm. They don't like to use them long-term because too much risk of infection.
Sure, sure. Anything close to the heart. Is that what screwed up your heart eventually?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I just.
Just another. Another. It'll be a podcast in the future. Okay. One thing that we like to discuss with the patients that we're interviewing is caregiving in the home after the procedure and equipment that might have helped you to recover after the procedure. Now, as a kidney donor, I know that, there were some things that assisted me on my recovery, but on the receiving end, what did you guys do to help you get over the hump when you got home from the hospital?
I initially started doing peritoneal dialysis. That is, most people think of hemodialysis, where they directly clean the blood. Peritoneal, they put a port in my abdomen. You put fluid in your abdomen. It dwells. It draws the poison, the chemicals off, and you change the fluid periodically. I did that for years.
Oh. Now, is that when you say the fluid goes in, is it into a vein or is it just into the cavity?
It goes into the abdominal cavity.
Wow.
And it, by osmosis, it draws the stuff off.
Okay.
The toxins and the fluid off of your body.
Okay.
I did that all together 8 years.
Okay. And is that the one that you do at home?
That's what I do at home. Yeah.
So you, from what I remember, you hooked yourself up to a machine at night and just let it run.
Yes. Initially, the first year and a half for my first transplant, I did it manually. Hung a bag of dialysate, ran it into my abdomen, leave it in there about 3-4 hours, drain that bag out, put another bag in. I do that 3 or 4 times a day.
And this is something that you could handle yourself.
Yeah.
They trained you and you didn't have any problem doing this at home.
Right.
Because it sounds very technical. I mean, it sounds scary.
I lost the first transplanted kidney, I end up doing what is called a cycler. The machine does that for you. But I had to be on that nearly 11 hours every night. And of course, you can't go anywhere until it is done.
Okay.
Well, after 6 years of that, my second transplant, lost the second transplant, I was tired of doing it.
Sure.
I never slept well. Now, it works better for other people. I was tired of doing it.
Okay.
All the work that goes with it, all the supplies, It's a constant job. This with hemodialysis, I can go to the dialysis unit 3 times a week. They run me for 3.5 hours. I'm done. Done for 2 days. Okay. I don't have to mess with it anymore.
Okay. So it's like an oil change.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay.
Pretty much.
But as far as like after the surgery, mm-hmm. I did very well. I mean, I was only 47. I was active.
Are you ready?
Yep. Go right ahead.
When you get your transplant, it's like you have an immense amount of energy. For a good year after my first transplant, I was just an Energizer bunny. I was working 2 jobs, taking care of my kids, and sleeping about 5 hours a night. I had just an immense amount of energy. That's, you start to come back to normal after a while. But your body has become so used to having no energy.
Okay.
Once this happens, you just feel great.
Okay.
Feel really great.
Talking about symptoms before, it just all comes on so gradually that you don't realize you're feeling bad. And
yeah.
Bad in the meaning that you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just,
it's draining.
Well, that's it. After your transplant and you feel so great, then you realize how terrible you felt.
Right.
And I also noticed things like my hair thickening back up after the transplant, my nails getting hard after the transplant, things that had started deteriorating, but you just, over such a long period of time, you just didn't notice it.
Okay.
But yeah, afterwards, after his first one, and then with mine, as far as recovery at home, it actually was very easy. I went back to work after 5 weeks. And I was a surgical nurse, so, you know, pretty, very active and intense, you know, but we were both healthy, you know, for the
going
most
into
part,
it.
Healthy going into it.
Young, right? And we, so many dialysis patients are on dialysis because they are diabetic.
Oh, okay.
And so they're fighting that complication problems. Also. We right. didn't have that.
Okay. So if someone had diabetes on top of the kidney failure,
oh, yeah.
then they've got just another hurdle that they've got to jump over
yeah.
in order
right.
to heal.
Yes.
About,
probably much more difficult in the healing process.
About 30% of dialysis patients are there because they are diabetic.
Okay.
I worked for 10 years as a fireman on one kidney. Did great.
Okay. Well, one kidney working well, I can tell you, does okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have no complaints.
You're not the only, or we're not the only ones.
Unless you think you want to be a marathoner, I don't think you would notice the difference.
Yeah, I would never do
that.
It'd
just
that,
be a slower recovery.
Okay.
Because you wore yourself out. And it just. But like I said, as a fireman, I didn't notice it.
Okay. Are you worried, Danelle, that you might be up for another one soon?
You know, I was around 10 years because basically Rodney, like I said, lost his at 10 years almost to the month. But, you know, it's been 17 now. My last doctor's visit down at Barnes was last March. And I've just been doing so well there, like, you know, which I had been going there just once a year for several years.
Okay.
And they're like, we're about coming back for 2 years. Now, I get my blood drawn every other month.
Okay.
And it all gets sent to Barnes. So they, you know, they're watching that closely.
Okay.
But, you know, they're like, you have to come back for 2 years. You're doing great. If you have had, because I have not once had any concerns about a rejection.
Okay.
That they're like, you know, you've kept it this long.
Well, and the better your match, the fewer drugs you have to take.
Okay.
And mine also was, I had a cadaver donor. And she was the same age I was.
Okay.
So, you know, basically I've got, you know, it's not like I
it
got
stayed
an older
in, yeah,
one.
It stayed
or,
replaced
yeah,
with you. Right,
yeah,
right.
It's growing
with you.
Me.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I wanted to discuss a little bit about the different regions that you can apply for when you're getting an organ. And I know that Rodney, your daughter, posted an ad on matchingdonors.com mm-hmm. for the second one. in order to actually expand your reach when you were looking for a donor, right?
Well, when you get on the list, you're waiting for them to find you a donor. Matchingdonors.com is a way for you to find your own donor.
You're like advertising.
Essentially, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we put a, told all about Rod, his life, his as a fireman. And
yeah, actually, I remember, my memory is pretty crap, but I actually still remember how strongly the emotions hit me when I read your ad.
Aww.
That I said, well, why wouldn't somebody have given this guy one already? For crying out loud, get him on the phone.
Well, of course, we had never put this forth before. When you're on the list, you're waiting for someone to die.
Right.
It's not a question of I'll give you mine.
Right. But the matching donors allows living donors to donate a part of a liver or a whole kidney.
And of course, my daughter was fantastic. She did all of that. I did nothing. She talked to different various people about me. At least two of them hinted around about being compensated, which technically is illegal in this,
right?
In this country.
Right.
So she told them, forget it. But she found you, or you found.
I found the ad. Yeah. I found the ad, and it was convenient that you were in Illinois. There wasn't a lot of transportation involved. I can imagine that some people that are looking nationwide, it might be a little bit more difficult if you have to commute or whatever. But ours was, perfect. How long were you on dialysis the first time before you got
Before the first transplant, I was on dialysis for a year and a half. They found me a cadaver.
Okay.
After the first transplant failed, I was on dialysis for 6 years.
Okay.
Before I got together with you. That one only lasted 10 months. Right now, I've been on dialysis about another 6 years.
Okay. And Danelle, how long were you on dialysis before?
I never had to go on dialysis.
Oh, okay.
I was put on the transplant list because now they will put you on it before you get on dialysis. Back when Rodney, first started, you had to actually be on dialysis before they would put you on the list.
Okay.
But then I think they figured out, hey, if we can get them, going before the dialysis. So I had been put on a list and told that I would have to be on dialysis within a year. And actually, it was like 4 months.
She was getting to the point. She was getting pretty run down.
So it was like getting close to where you were.
Yeah, it was real close.
But you weren't there yet.
4 months is just really, even the doctors were like, you're on the list how long? I've been like 4 months.
Right.
But I had a rare blood type. And I think, it's not real rare, but I was Rh negative.
Okay.
So I think that could have gone either way.
Sure.
It could have kept me on the list longer or...
if nobody else can take it, right.
Give me that one kidney that no one else could take. So, yes, I was blessed in that, it was only 4 months. And
mm-hmm. Good. Have there been any dietary changes to either of you since the transplants? Mm-hmm. Have you had to change your diet?
Well, once you've had a transplant, no. If you're on dialysis, it's extreme.
As far as sodium, right?
Sodium, the main thing is phosphorus and potassium.
Okay.
Dialysis does not remove phosphorus, and it doesn't do a very good job removing potassium.
Okay. And are those good or bad?
Well, they're,
they're bad if they get elevated.
Oh, okay. So you don't want the levels to be high.
Right.
And your kidney normally takes care of those?
Correct.
Okay, I see. Okay.
The phosphorus level, if you've got an excess of phosphorus, it settles in your feet. And I have neuropathy in my feet because that has destroyed the peripheral nerve endings in my feet. So it's more difficult for me to walk. Potassium, that gets out of whack. It messes up your heart.
Yeah, I heard.
That can be real serious.
Sure, Sure. But they keep an eye on it, and then they
keep an eye on it.
Give you medication to adjust levels, or
well, that's why I take massive amounts of phosphorus binders when I eat.
Okay.
The potassium, the dialysis will remove it to some extent, but I've got to stay away from high potassium foods.
Sounds like you guys have to turn into nutritionists in order to stay healthy, huh?
He does.
Yeah. On the other hand,
basically can eat just like you can. We both have one good working kidney.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, you have to be intelligent about it. It's just as much as you would in that, you know, hey, what do you want in your body? But yeah, that's the great thing.
Well, that's good.
It's like I can eat whatever I want.
Oh, yeah. When I had my first transplant, I would not. You do not know you're working on one kidney.
You mean you don't feel it?
You don't feel it. And you're really no dietary limitations because of it.
Because the kidney's working well.
Right.
Okay. Are there any support groups or organizations that have been of assistance for either of you?
No.
That we kind of chose not to. I mean, basically, that guy right there was the support group.
Well, that's luckily true. You had each other, yes. And you kind of had the experience. Also, with your dad going through it before,
we had been through a lot.
And you being a nurse, I'm sure that helped.
Yeah, yeah.
But and Danelle,
there are, you know, support groups out there.
Okay.
And
the hospital would recommend them,
right? I'm sure Barnes had even at one point asked if I would consider, you know, kind of being a mentor. But that's a, you know, from Central Illinois, it's like a 2.5-hour drive.
Right,
so
right.
It really wasn't feasible for me to do it.
Sure.
But yes. There
How about you, the dialysis facility? Do you notice that anybody there that might need, you know, like encouragement or advice? Not really advice, but support as they're going through?
Oh, there probably is. And like Danelle said, they have people that you can do that with. I'm not a joiner.
Okay.
Leave me alone.
Okay. How about medical equipment, supplies, or other tools that you found particularly helpful when dealing with kidney disease?
No. Other, like I said, the peritoneal dialysis was a big burden. But that's why I like prefer the hemodialysis now, because I can go to the unit, get it done, leave it. All I have to do is watch my diet.
Okay. Okay.
And my fluid.
There were, after this second one, and he kind of started going downhill, and there were different things that, you know, at one point he had to use a walker, and he, you know, got to the cane.
Well, that was, I greatly blame the nephrologist I had at the time. I kept asking him, why is this happening? And, you know, he had no answer, or he wouldn't give me one.
And you're talking about your feet being so bad.
Yeah. I was almost to the point of being in a wheelchair.
Okay.
And when Danelle helped me, we got a neurologist, 20 seconds, he told me what was going on.
Okay.
So I adjusted my diet, and they got considerably better.
Oh, all right.
But I still have a problem walking.
Okay.
We have a shower chair stool now that helps him a lot in the shower because his legs are still, you know, weak to a point.
Wobbly.
I think I bought that for him at one point, but then I borrowed it back so that I could have it.
Okay.
You know, just because of, you know, after the surgery, you're just, you know, you're tired. You have major surgery.
Sure.
So
now I know that they also make like almost like support bars that go in the toilet area that can help you get up and down. Do you need anything like that?
No, of course I do not. I don't sit in the tub. It'd be too hard for me to get up.
Okay, so you just shower.
I stand. So well, although I do sit on that stool she was talking about in the shower, but I don't get down in the tub.
How about a handheld shower that you can remove from? Have you ever tried one of those that you attach afterwards and you can remove?
I actually have one.
Do you?
You know, there again, it's like I'm not, you know, incapacitated in any way.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, those would, you know, as being a nurse and have worked in nursing homes for, you know, back years ago. Things like that are awesome.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, I want to thank you both for all of that information. you probably wouldn't realize how much it means to people to hear the stories of people that have already gone through it. So let's say someone just gets diagnosed and they don't know what to expect. God, I have a kidney disease. What on earth am I up to next? And this way they can hear the podcast, they can hear your stories, and they can have a little bit of sense of relief saying, well, these two, they've gotten through it pretty well, and I can certainly get through it. And they gave me a couple of hints and advice, and I know what to look for. And it really is helpful. So I really want to thank you, and I appreciate you taking the time to do this with us today.
Yeah. You're welcome.
We will appreciate everything that you've done.
Oh, well, it's been an honor.
Well, I felt bad that I lost your kidney as much for you as for me. You made that sacrifice, and I wasn't able to keep it.
What? Not your fault.
Well, this is true, but I still felt bad about
it. Don't worry about it. It's okay. All right. I'm going to cut this off now.
If you have any questions or comments related to today's show, you can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, where you can link to our Facebook page and also see more information as we build our site. Please go to podcastdx.com.
And for our listeners, if you have a moment, please give us a 5-star review on iTunes podcast app.